Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.thevalleychurch.ca. And now let's take you right into the sermon.
All right, so next week we start our Advent season. It's here, it's upon us. Our Christmas season is almost here. But for today, we are going to start our Luke series. Now, we're starting our Luke series, and it is kind of like this precursor to Christmas, which is really kind of cool how it all lined up. We plan to go through the books of Luke and Acts as a church. Something that I wanted to do in the very beginning of starting this church, and I thought, at some point, I want to get to Acts. But at the same time, as we have a mission statement of being a visible presence of Jesus in the Cowichan Valley, it's important to go through a gospel, which we did the Sermon on the Mount before, but to do the Gospel of Luke was something that would really tandem do very well. It's part one of the series that Luke puts together in the New Testament. So Luke and then Acts. So over the next couple years, because it'll take us long, we are going to be doing this. However, we will take some breaks in between for 2 John, 3 John, because we did 1 John already. And also, we have a plan next summer to do the Psalms Summer Mixtape. So that's what we're calling our Psalms, just a random Psalms in the summer. But it's going to be really awesome. And so I hope that you're part of, that you come to be part of some of these things that are coming up in the future. So the first thing that I think is important is to set the stage for the Gospel of Luke. I want to do this to also help those who are newer to faith, because we have a number of people that are here that have never really thought through different parts of the Bible before, because they're new to faith and they're still trying to figure out, or maybe they're not a Christian yet and they're here and they're like, okay, we're just trying to figure this out. So it's important to go through these things. All right, so the Gospel of Luke is one of the earliest written accounts of Jesus' life. Luke is the author, as often is the case, but not always the case in the Bible, past and Bible books, who is also a co-laborer with Paul, the Apostle Paul. Luke was also a doctor. His intent is in his writing of the gospel is to be as accurate as possible, drawing information from eyewitnesses of Jesus. He was not an eyewitness of Jesus, but he was drawing from eyewitnesses of Jesus. So what does the word gospel mean? The word gospel simply means good news. So with Luke, this is his telling of the good news of Jesus, that what his arrival and purpose meant for us, even us today. The main theme of the book is to show how Jesus proclaimed the good news of God's kingdom, which Jesus knew full well it would seem backwards or upside down to what you might think the gospel, or the kingdom of God looks like at times. In Luke's gospel, he reveals that the only way to enter God's kingdom is through humility and repentance, when we submit ourselves to living out this upside-down kingdom. Only then can we truly experience Jesus. So are you ready to come and see what happened in this book? You ready for this? To experience Jesus in this series? Because that's what our prayer is. To experience who he is, what he did, what he continues to do for us. So let's pray as we enter into the story. Let's pray together. Jesus, we pray for you to guide us through this journey through the Gospel of Luke. We know that learning about your kingdom and how it is different than the kingdom around us is so important to how we walk with you. We pray for wisdom in giving attention to these things we hear. We pray for understanding to reveal not only what the text meant to the first hearers, but for us today. We believe the scriptures are relevant for today, so show us, Jesus. Show us how we are to live in this upside-down kingdom. You are the king of this kingdom. And as we approach Christmas, we look to remember your arrival as king 2,000 years ago. What a joy it is to enjoy peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Yes, we are the ones that have been reconciled. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to our hearts to help us align with your will And Father God, we thank you for sending your Son to bring your kingdom here on earth, to bring us back into right relationship with you through the sacrifice of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to get into some reading. We're going to do it in three different chunks. The first is just the first four verses of Luke. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn to Luke chapter 1:1-4. If you don't have a Bible and you wish you brought your Bible, you want to borrow one or take one home, there's some at the back. We would love you to have it. If you don't have a Bible, they're free. So go for it. We bought them for you ahead of time. But in the meantime, let's turn to Luke chapter 1:1-4. And it says this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses in service of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. I like how the personality of a doctor comes out. Very accurate, very with certainty. Making sure, of course, we all want doctors to do that, right? With certainty and everything. So we see here that Luke says, many have written before him. At the very beginning, he says, many have written before him, acknowledging that he's not the first, although he still is one of the first. Luke is intent on precision, to making sure he has written accurately and to convey it all with complete certainty. So Luke isn't an eyewitness himself, as I said earlier, but he talked to others who were eyewitnesses. He calls them servants of the word, those who proclaimed from the very beginning. He was investigating for his own purposes, tracing the story from its inception, from the very beginning. And he does this all for someone he calls Theophilus. We don't know who Theophilus really was. Maybe a Jew, maybe not a Jew, actually. Could have been either. Or maybe just the meaning of his name, which means lover of God. So it could have been one of those things. But regardless, Theophilus likely hired Luke to publish his work, as he seemed to know something of the Christian faith already. So he kind of understood, may have been a believer, may not have been. So after the introduction of this book, Luke switches into the narrative to show the facts to the story and has been witnessed by others. Now let's enter into the story, and I invite you to imagine being there in the story. If we can do that, maybe for this whole series. Just imagine yourself being there, witnessing this as an observer of everything that's going on. So let's read again. This is verses 5-22. In the time of Herod of Judah, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, for he is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. So Luke at this point is bringing about the wonder of what had happened. He wants the details of all the things to show how crazy this is. The unusual circumstances is what he wanted to point out. We have Zechariah, who was serving as a priest. Now, to understand what was going on in priestly duties, there were many priests, but only one temple. They were serving like a rolling roster of people that would come in and they would serve within the temple. 24 divisions of priests. Each division would be on duty twice a year for a week. Now, why would Zechariah and Elizabeth be labeled as very old? Why that detail? How was that relevant? Well, I think there's a lot of relevance, of course, because Luke was very meticulous with this, with these details. I think it's because there wasn't a retirement age for priests. There was no being too old and then you've retired. You just were continually being a priest. I think this was also to mention I think this was mentioned by Luke to show the impossibility about what was about to happen, again, pointing to this idea of wonder. Understanding Zechariah's role, priests would not offer incense at the temple more than once in a lifetime. This was something that would have been some of them would never even have a chance to do this in a lifetime. But here, Zechariah, older and chosen by lot, chance again to offer incense, and this would have been the most important time in his life as a priest to say, here's my moment. I've been chosen to do this. What an honor. His turn came to go into the holy place with the other priests. They would leave, and then he would be in there alone. Then the signal was given. He would offer the incense, and those waiting to worship would wait in the court until the priest was done. Now came this moment of an angel. More wonder. From the book of Luke. The language used here for the angel when it said, your prayer has been heard, was not an habitual prayer. Not something that Zechariah would continually pray in a rote way over and over and over again, but a singular prayer. It wasn't a prayer Zechariah would utter over and over again. This was once. And Zechariah likely wouldn't have felt good about being a personal prayer. His one chance to go into the temple, he wouldn't say, oh, this is going to be my chance to pray for a child. That's not what his prayer likely was. This was his once-in-a-lifetime chance and would have felt unworthy, and especially at his age, of waiting for his chance to make it all about himself. It was more likely the prayer was for the redemption of Israel.